Good afternoon and welcome. Welcome indeed to hour number three of the Moses Show. All right, let's go to Orlando and talk to this fine gentleman. I saw him last night at the arena there at UCF as, yes, the Knights upset number three ranked Kansas Jayhawk basketball. Probably the greatest win in basketball history for UCF. His name's Trace Trelko. Trace, how you doing today?
Are you telling me, Mark, that wasn't just a dream? We were actually there? We actually saw it? I'm doing good, Mark. Good to hear from you.
All right, for our listeners, so I'm sitting by Trace, and you gave this analogy. You're like, every 4 minutes, what's the plus minus? And you did it the whole game. Explain your rationale, what you did last night.
Let's go back to the Knights opener in Big 12 play on the road at Kansas State. They lose by 25. They give up 12 points very quickly. So my calculus for this game against third-ranked Kansas, check in on this Knights team at each of the media timeouts, which comes at the 16, the 12, the 8, the 4. And I just wanted to see how long they could remain in the game and be close. And I actually have that sheet that I was compiling. 7-7 at that first media timeout. Then they were down 5. They were down 8. They were down 16, Mark, 35-19 at that 4-minute media timeout. And then they would have the way to 8 down at the half. And then, of course, they come on strong in the second half. Some back and forth. But the Knights win that game over number 3 Kansas. And a lot of it had to turn on defense for the Knights. But this is how I'm judging where they stand at each of those media timeouts.
How big of a win is it for the program?
Well, it's huge in the immediacy, and let's see if they can carry it over. Saturday, a tough home game against a still-ranked BYU Cougars team that is still looking for its first win in Big 12 play. But this is a huge win, right? This is a third-ranked Kansas. It's a legacy. It's a blue blood program in Kansas. Huge win. Biggest win in the men's basketball program, biggest win for Johnny Dawkins here at UCF. I mean, you don't see court stormings every day, right? So it's a big one. Now, we could check back in some weeks, and this could be the only win they have in conference play because they've got Texas coming. I mean, it's just every game in the Big 12. There are no gimmies on the schedule. You enjoy this one. Coach Dawkins said the post game, everybody gets to enjoy it until midnight. This is about 10 o'clock now when he's saying that. You get to enjoy it at midnight, and then we start working. It's big. Let's see if it leads to some more donations, but it certainly captured the eyes of college basketball all across the country. Another top-ranked team at the top there goes down.
Yeah, we're here at Trace Trelko. Okay, the night before, number 1 and number 2 lose. Then last night, number 3 and number 5 lose. It's complete chaos. Here's my thing. In years past, Kansas would have shown up and they would have had superstars on their team. I didn't see any superstars. And honestly, Kansas was awful last night. It takes two to tango. UCF was making buckets and playing D. Kansas was really bad in that second half. What did you see?
Well, players from Kansas in the postgame said self-inflicted wounds. They're talking about some of, if not many of, their 18 turnovers. But credit to the Knights, okay? They shifted up. They changed up their defense. Credit Coach Johnny Dawkins and his staff for surprising Kansas by moving to a zone defense, and they contributed to some of Kansas's problems. Knights with 7 blocks on the night. You heard Bill Self, legendary head coach of Kansas, credit the Knights. You'll often hear Johnny Dawkins do that, and that's just the mark of a coach with, you know, crediting the other team. So, yes, Kansas made mistakes. It does prove, though, with a sellout crowd, students back, you've seen this atmosphere night after night on TV, watching these Big 12 games, home court can make a big difference. Now, let's see how the Knights do when they are back on the road. Hey, 18-game conference schedule, you're going to get 9 of them at home. They got that first one. They beat Kansas. They get BYU on Saturday. They still got to go on the road for games like at Texas coming up next week.
For all the great listeners, I want them to know this. It really hit me when we went to the post-game news conference. I'm like, who are all these people? What's going on here? What is it? Because usually, and I'm not knocking you, like you and there's a couple other guys, you guys have covered this team for years and years and years. You all do a great job, especially Sons of UCF. I'll give the plug. There's like 5 of you at the post-game with Johnny Dawkins. there was a whole meeting. Like, what are we at, a bowl game? What is this? And it was all the Kansas beat reporters. I'm like, okay, this is the next level for UCF basketball. Did you feel that way?
Yeah, certainly with Kansas. Now, we'll see when the Knights host, you know, BYU, whether you see visiting media. Yeah. You know, in the case of UCF, you mentioned a couple of us covering the program on a regular basis, but no media that I'm aware of traveled to Manhattan, Kansas for the Knights Big 12 opener last week at Kansas State. So how many will come from BYU and cover that game? I don't know, but you could tell it is a bigger game feel. You get the visiting coach when it's Kansas and Bill Self. You don't necessarily get the visiting coach when it's, I don't know, Jacksonville or, you know, FIU.
There was a feeling, you know, the players are like, oh, the atmosphere, it didn't affect us, you know. They were like talking. And look, I get it. Trace, they're Kansas basketball. They're blue blood, like you're saying. They win championships. They go to the NBA. But you know what also they get? They can go take a loss and go back to Kansas. Sorry. I had to say it. You take that L. This is my thing. Whatever happens the rest of the year, those players on this team, they beat Kansas basketball. It's so awesome, dude. I'm telling you, it's the number one win in the history of the program. The number one win should have been them beating Duke and Zion Williamson, which they still got robbed, and I'll take that to my grave.
Too soon, Mark. It's too soon.
No.
Still can't talk about it.
I'm still angry about that. I've told Johnny Dawkins this personally. I'm like, I can't get it. He's like, Mark, I can't either. That's the biggest win of the pro. That was the best atmosphere. And I was there for the Michigan win. Like, that was good. And what was the game? What was there, like an NIT game against Illinois they won? Wasn't that a couple
years? That was a rocking atmosphere. That was a sellout. You know, not too many sellouts in this arena since its debut in 2007. And, you know, perhaps you'll see more of those sellouts with Big 12 opponents, high caliber, big name opponents. Fans have wanted to see this sort of schedule, no disrespect intended, but, you know, you're not selling a lot of tickets locally to see East Carolina or Tulane, right?
No.
I mean, Kansas, Baylor, Texas, you know the names, Oklahoma. These are the names that fans want to see, and now with the configuration of the Big 12, they're going to see these teams on a regular basis.
Have you ever seen that stadium have a court storming post-game?
You know, I was talking with some other members of the media. We were trying to remember the last time. I think there was court storming with Illinois, but I'm trying to remember. Somebody mentioned the Cincinnati game, but either I missed it or I've forgotten about it. I don't remember it as vividly as it was mentioned. But you know, not too many court stormings in UCF history. Well, how would you grade the court storming?
Amazing.
You stayed up at the press table. You saw it from a higher view.
No. Here's what I did. No. I went into the storm. I did it. So I was, I want to know what yours is as well. I was halfway up and you could like, there's this like rumbling where those students are like, we are going on that court. I'm sorry. No one's stopping us. And I stood there for a minute, halfway up the row. And then I went into it and I went on the court and I was filming the whole time. I'll show you my video. It was awesome. Where were you exactly?
I was already courtside to capture the last minute or so. You know, we're not sure which way it's going to go at that point. And I said, I'm not sure to you or to whom at that time, this is either going to be just a tremendous moment or going to be heartbreak because it's a close game, right?
It was.
And I expected Kansas to go on that run as they do, you know, as a top program in the country. And it was not as orderly and structured as the rush the field after UCF football defeated Oklahoma State, which that was all very organized and people gathered in the tunnel and then they opened the fence and people ran out, you know, because of the way the stands are and the cement are around that area and you don't want to tumble down and break something at the football stadium. This was a real court storming, but people were respectful. Everybody having a good time. And you know how those things are. It's a spontaneous 5 minutes and the whole thing's over. I was near where head coach Johnny Dawkins was, and he was high-fiving fans, and I just followed him in the walkway until he was going to his post-game media interviews with the TV crew. So that was my vantage. But it was exciting, an exciting 5 minutes.
It was. We're here with Trace Trelko with Suns UCF. I said this in my open today. It's one of those moments in life where it's like, you know, sometimes you just got to go because you never know what might happen. I did not think UCF was going to win this game. I did not believe, but I'm happy. In hindsight, I'm exhausted today, but it was worth it. Do you feel that way, Trace?
You didn't believe. It was never in doubt. Oh, you UCF fans, if they're being honest, who are you in the listening audience that believed that this team could knock off Kansas? Hey, you know what? Odds makers saw something. They initially had Kansas as a 6.5-point favorite. It jumped up a little bit to 7.5, but that's within striking distance, a two-possession, three-possession game, right? So someone thought that in a week in which Houston lost on the road, it was possible that UCF could get that upset.
And they did. They did. And by the way, to Houston, you're not going 29-2 moving forward, okay? Welcome to big boy basketball. And I think they saw that the other night at Iowa State. That's my opinion on the subject.
Well, and that's a reality that Houston, Cincinnati, BYU, UCF are going to have to get their arms around. You could, right, finish 9-9, which is not a great record in the American, you know, if that's what your record is, but in the Big 12, 9-9, with a healthy non-conference schedule, you're going to find yourself in some form of postseason, NCAA tournament or NIT.
And there's going to be more teams added moving forward to the conference.
Yeah, just Arizona State, Colorado.
Utah. You brought that up last night. Utah's good. West Virginia's good at basketball. Iowa State's good at ball. I mean, this is wild. I'm just happy I
went. Remember, UCF was projected 14th.
Yeah.
If you're talking to Kansas fans today, this was the easy out on the Kansas schedule, and they take the L.
You and me have discussed this. There were a lot of Kansas fans there last night because they're thinking, hey, it's 5 degrees where I live in Kansas City. I'm going to fly to Orlando. We'll go to Disney World. Then we'll beat UCF. It'll be a great vacation. There's just one problem. They got the loss, and they had the same look on their face, Trace, as those Oklahoma State fans had last November losing to the football team at the bounce house. It's the same reaction. Like, what is this?
You mean it's not the happiest place on earth? Look on their faces.
It's so awesome. Dude, I know you've been part of this program for a long time. I've never been prouder than last night because I know basketball does not have a long history of anything, if you really think about it. That was a big moment for the program, and I hope you feel that way as well.
Yeah, it was exciting to be there, and as they mounted that comeback, and you could tell the way things shifted in the second half. And there haven't been moments like that following UCF basketball all these years, and maybe it's a one-off, you know, but they'll never take it away from Knights fans, right?
No.
They were there, they experienced it, but you hope, not only in the short term, that this is a good team that can get some wins on this tough schedule, but this is a sort of building block for returning players and the recruits and guys that come in from the transfer portal, that this is a signature win. You know, we joke about put it on a T-shirt when they took a lead early on
of
a couple of points, you know, but you know this is going to be part of the story that is told to recruits by coaches and the recruiters. You know, this, come to UCF, you know, we can shock the world.
There is a play in the first half that I think is getting lost in the shuffle. There was a scuffle, a kind of a fight, not really. I think it kind of set the tone that UCF's not going to back down to that jersey for Kansas. What happened last night, Trace?
Well, from our vantage, there was an ejection. You mentioned that of Thierno Silva ejected and a loss. You know, UCF had to pivot without him there. But, you know, to your point, it showed some fight that the Knights weren't going to be awed or intimidated by Kansas. So from that perspective, right, it does fire up your fans, your home folks. It also fires up your players. They're going to look out for one of their guys. I don't know that we quite saw it, you know, from the vantage that we were at, who, you know, why one guy got ejected and nobody else. You know, you figured that they might clamped down on both of them, but it was the night that got the toss. They worked through it. And if you're coaches and you're back to practice, you talk about it, well, one, dealing with adversity and losing a player in that moment. But back to what Coach Dawkins and players talked about after the loss at Kansas State on Saturday, keeping your composure. You can't have moments like that again. So maybe in the short term and the immediacy of that game fires up your players a little bit, certainly your fans, but you'd rather not lose a guy.
What time did you get home last night?
Not too late, midnight. Midnight after everything was wrapped up there and still had some things to do. So it was a 2 o'clock lights out and then up early in the morning.
The game wasn't that long. It really wasn't. It was a quick game, and I'll tell you why. Because it was on the app, ESPN Plus or Watch ESPN. This is my thing. Can we stop with the streaming apps for 5 minutes? Can we just put it on local television? Come on, man. Please.
You're just dipping into that because of Peacock carrying NFL playoff action this weekend. That's why you're hitting that subject.
There were a lot of people that hit me up in the second half. They're like, what channel's the game on? I'm like, I don't know. That was literally my answer. And a lot of like UCF fans were like, well, I didn't get to watch it. Well, this is the problem sometimes with this stuff. Before I let you go.
Well, I was just going to say, then you're not going to be a big help to me. I was going to ask you, how do I find the Longhorn Network, which is what UCF plays on at Texas next week? Is that on my system? Can I get that? How do I get it?
I don't know. I have YouTube TV, and it has like every single ESPN, but I don't even know if I have that one. But I'm amazed that Longhorn Network is still on television. Like, it's still a network. Okay.
I think it is until the end of the fiscal year, and then Texas and Oklahoma go to the SEC. I think it dissolves at that point. But the UCF at Texas game next week is on the Longhorn Network, or I'll be listening to it on the radio because I don't think I get it.
Hey, remember, the Longhorn Network, Trey Stroko, that's what started where teams were jumping to different conferences in 2010 because they were so angry that Texas got their own network. Like, Nebraska jumped to the Big Ten right after that. Like, we can't compete with this. And it's been a disaster, that network. It's just wild to think about in hindsight. Before I let you go, what'd you think of Nick Saban retiring yesterday?
Nick Saban and Pete Carroll and just, you know, there's a lot of names in the news stepping down. Bill Belichick news as well to follow. Big, but, you know, I mean, some talk of it, right? And credit to him, a very successful career during the Thursday media availability. UCF head coach Gus Malzahn, who had some success with a couple of wins as head coach of Auburn over Alabama, saluting Nick Saban. Certainly monumental for UCF fans, though. I think that the day that they will remember is the UCF victory over Kansas, and they will not remember that it coincided with Nick Saban's retirement. He will be present a lot of places. You'll see him in 30-second commercials for this, that, and the other.
Oh, yeah.
And he's actually, I find him entertaining, so he'll end up in some coverage or pregame show or some level of broadcasting and have a meaningful career after that.
Wait, was K.J. Jefferson at the game last night?
K.J. was at the game. He was part of the media availability Thursday as well as Gus Malzahn. And he K.J., the Arkansas transfer, in line to be Knight's next quarterback with John Rhys Plumlee's graduation. And he was excited to be a part of the court storming.
What a world we live in. So crazy. It's the craziest 24 hours. What can we check out for Sons of UCF, buddy?
Well, timing's good. Being part of your show on a Thursday, we go live at 8 o'clock. Sons of UCF Live streams 8 to 9. Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. Subscribe to the Sons wherever you get your downloadable content. Follow us on Twitter, X, whatever it's called. And if you subscribe on YouTube, you get the notification. Always on demand. Check us out on our website, sonsofucf.com. That's where we've got written articles and content. But if you want to watch us live, 8 to 9, we're going to be talking about this UCF victory over Kansas and previewing the game Saturday with BYU when the Cougars come to town. As well, we'll be talking about Gus Malzahn's comments today about K.J. Jefferson, and we'll have some sound from K.J. as well.
That's going to be awesome, dude. Trace, thank you so much for coming on. Go get some rest, and I'll talk to you later.
All right. Good talking, Mark.